Romeo and Juliet, star-crossed lovers, or sex offenders?
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tammy Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less, although we've gone over by a couple of minutes the last couple of episodes.
So. Yeah, that's okay. We just have so much wisdom to impart.
Yes, but today's topic is Romeo and Juliet laws, and we're going to keep it 30 and under.
Okay.
Right? Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hark, what light through yonder window of Rose Library breaks. It is the east, and timey is the sun.
Yeah, I can't see any windows because we are in a cave.
Well, we'll just pretend there's some window.
Yes.
But the light is coming from you. You're such a glorious and radiant podcast
That's
host.
So sweet.
Yeah. Did you read Romeo and Juliet in high school?
I mean, I'm going to be honest here. High school for me is now so long ago. I cannot remember a single book I read. Mm. Like, I can't think about a book I read and think, oh, I did this in English class and as a senior or something. Mm-hmm. I've read so much over the course of my lifetime that I can't really identify a period of time where I may have read Romeo and Juliet, but it's possible. It's possible.
So you don't, what about ever? I mean, have you read Romeo and Juliet? Ever?
I don't know.
No. Maybe. I would like,
it's possible. I mean, again, like, we were pretty voracious readers as kids, right? So I've read so much that now I have to actually go back and reread books. And then I start reading a book and I'm like, oh, yeah, I did already read this. So that's kind of where I'm at. But probably. Well, I know enough about the story to say I read the book.
Yeah. I can say I've never read Shakespeare unless someone's made me do it. That's for sure.
That would also be the case for me.
I do remember reading this in high school because when we would do plays in high school, we would actually read them in class and everybody would like get a part.
Yes.
To play and read. So that, so we did that, but I don't remember a lot of the specific details of
We did Hamlet. We did Hamlet, so I kind of feel like maybe our teachers just didn't want us to do Romeo and Juliet for some reason. They probably wanted to discourage any teenage love.
Maybe, possibly.
Which, given where I grew up, was, you know, a good idea.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I was just thinking, like, oh, maybe we should have saved this for, like, a Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, yeah.
But too late. Here
too late.
We are. But anyway, put on your acting shoes. Because I'm going to give you line from Romeo and Juliet,
I
too.
Know, by the way, I think I called this a book earlier because, like, I'm just absolutely brain dead. But, I got you.
It is the end of the week. Yeah. So, anyway, you've got some Shakespeare lines to deliver to our audience throughout the episode.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I'm so excited.
Well, good.
Okay, good. No. Wait a minute. Is this a Shakespeare line? No. Please don't. If you do, I promise you, these violent delights will have violent ends. Dang it, you've already done it. Anyway.
Gotcha.
Tell our listeners about Romeo and Juliet laws.
Okay, so I'll get into more specifics about them later, but briefly, Romeo and Juliet laws or exemptions basically provide exceptions to statutory rape laws for star-crossed lovers like Romeo and Juliet, who are close in age. But before we talk about those exceptions specifically, we need to cover age of consent and statutory rape laws.
And age of consent laws are laws that establish how old a person has to be before they can consent to having sexual intercourse.
Right. And the reason for having legal age of consent is to protect minors from sexual exploitation and from older sexual partners by recognizing that minors below a certain age may not have the ability to give meaningful consent and to understand the implications and consequences of sexual behavior. So when I was putting this together, I kind of had a hard time figuring out what word to use here.
Right.
Like minors or youths or teens or kids, because we're talking about not adults having sex.
Yes.
And I didn't want it to like sound weird or creepy. So what word do you think works best here?
Well, you know, that which we call a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet.
Stop it, Shakespeare, you perv.
I think Shakespeare probably was a perv.
Well, probably. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but Juliet was 13 in the play.
Yeah.
But anyway, minors is probably the word that I'll go with, and I might use teens too. But anyway, minors lack the cognitive capacity to effectively guard against manipulation by adults. And, you know, this is more so the case the bigger the age gap between adults and minors. And because adults may be bigger in size or because of the imbalance in cognitive maturity or social power, relationships between adults and minors are exploitative and predatory. So even if a minor quote-unquote agrees to participate in sex, a minor can't legally consent to having sex, and especially not having sex with an adult.
So the age of consent is what, 18?
Well, it's 18 actually in only about a quarter of U.S. states. So when I was looking this up, there were some minor differences across several data sources I checked. So these numbers might be one or, you know, off by one or more in different categories. But anyway, in 2024, the age of consent is 18 in around 12 states, and Virginia is included in those 12. In eight other states, the age of consent is 17. And by far and away the most common, in about 30 states, the age of consent is 16.
That's when you get to drive, so
yeah,
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But the trend seems to be that states are raising their legal age of consent. So, for example, when I was mentioning, like, some data sources were different, like Nebraska was one. In one map it would be, you know, 16, and one map it would be 17. But apparently Nebraska used to be in the 16 category, and it was in 17 in one of these data sets. And so I went to the actual state legislature and looked it up, and it's 18. So apparently Nebraska has been raising it. But that's why I said it may be off, because I did not take the time to go and double check all 50 states.
Well, you know, there's a reason they probably kept changing that.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any scholarly data or input on this, but you know, this kind of tracks with what we talked about before, that, you know, kids are taking longer to grow up these days.
Right.
And around the world, the age of consent ranges mostly from 16 to 18 too.
So that's the age of consent. Mm-hmm. And if someone who is under the age of consent willingly has sexual intercourse with someone above the age of consent, the person above the age of consent has committed a crime, mm-hmm. commonly referred to as statutory rape.
Right.
This is not an official legal designation, but statutory rape is a popular term for the phenomena to distinguish it from forcible rape.
Right. And so a 2018 study using NIBRS data from 91 to 2013 found that only 5% of sex crimes reported to the police were for statutory rape. So not a lot of these crimes getting reported to the police. And of those reported, between 2 to 5% of the offenders were female. So most of the victims of these crimes are girls victimized by older men.
Shocking.
Yeah. Studies also show that, you know, about half of teenagers have reported having sex in their lifetime. And mostly those reports are that, you know, the activity is consensual. But health data do indicate that the younger a teen is at their first intercourse, the larger the age gap is between teen and adult. So, for example, if, like, you know, first age of intercourse is reported at 15, the partner, you know, on average is within 3 years, so on average about 3 years older. But several different studies of birth records showed that for girls ages 11 to 12 who were given birth, the father was on average 10 years older than the girl.
Yeah.
And that's considered a crime.
Yes.
And a sex offense.
Yes.
And can trigger sex offense sanctions and restrictions. Like, you have to register, you have to notify, you know, have residency restrictions, you can't live within certain areas. So definitely the public supports statutory rape laws when there's a large age gap between parties. You know, like, very few people would want 45-year-olds to be having sex with 15-year-olds.
No.
But this gets more complicated when partners are closer in age.
Right.
Say, like, an 18 and a 17-year-old.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us about Shane? This is a quote from a Law Review article that I read about Romeo and Juliet laws.
Shane Sandborg cannot drop his daughter off for her first day of school. He cannot coach his son's Little League team. He cannot attend any of his children's birthday parties. Due to his oldest daughter's birth, Shane cannot do any of these things. after Shane's 16-year-old fiance gave birth to their now 17-year-old daughter, Shane was investigated, charged, and convicted of criminal sexual abuse. He was just 15 months older than his fiance. Shane was required to register on the Illinois Sex Offender Registry, and the label sex offender has haunted him ever since.
Very nice. That was very Shakespearean.
I wasn't going for that, but good.
Well, yeah. No, it worked. But, you know, like Shane, I read several cases where a boy who was 18 or 19 was charged and convicted of statutory rape for having sex with his 15 or 16-year-old girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the boyfriend, you know, Shane, or another boyfriend I read about was Frank in this case, was basically arrested and put on the sex offender registry and later went on to marry and had kids and a family with their victims. And now they can't, you know, pick them up from school or go to their ball games or their birthday parties. And for Shane, that, you know, that's been like 17 years.
Right.
A 2012 study found that most of the public, over 90%, does not support this notion that same age or relatively same age sexual activity between teens should be a crime. And those who do think it should be a crime, you know, explicitly stated that it shouldn't be a felony and it shouldn't trigger sex offender status restrictions.
That's because a percentage of that 90% did it themselves.
Probably a large percent. Yeah.
Yes.
But Romeo and Juliet laws, or close in age exceptions, would make exemptions for those sexual partners who are close in age, but where one or both parties are still below the age of consent. And these are obviously called Romeo and Juliet laws because Romeo and Juliet were teenage lovers. And I said before, it's explicitly mentioned in the play that Juliet was 13. It doesn't say Romeo's age, but it's assumed he was an older teen.
Mm-hmm.
So one article that I read about Romeo and Juliet laws while I was prepping for this episode was titled, Romeo and Juliet, Star-Crossed Lovers or Sex Offenders? So I thought that was a pretty good article title.
Love that title.
Mm-hmm. So in 2018, 34 states included an age different clause that allows legal consent if both parties are close in age and one or both of them are below the age of consent. And you know, conversely, on the opposite side, basically around 12 to 15 states have a single age of consent requirement with no exceptions. So if we're talking about, you know, Romeo and Juliet exemptions or, you know, Romeo and Juliet laws, they typically have the following elements. First, laws establish a baseline age for the younger party. So basically for Romeo and Juliet to apply, the minor has to be at least like 12 to 15 years old. Most states specify around 14 or 15, but some states go as young as 12. So basically for this to apply, the younger party has to at least be 14, 15 years old.
Right.
Second, laws establish a permissible age range. So you've got the, you know, minimum age. The other party can't be more than, let's say, 2 to 5 years older than the minor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, has to be at least 14. The other party can't be more than 3 or 5 years older than the minor. And third, some states establish some exceptions. So like the older party can't have a criminal history or especially can't have a prior sex offense or already be a registered sex offender.
So you mentioned most states have these, but a few don't. Why are they important to have?
Well, there are three main reasons. So statutory rape age of consent laws are, one, over-inclusive, two, they're selectively enforced, and three, they're inconsistent and arbitrary. So first of all, age of consent laws without Romeo and Juliet exemptions put 18-year-olds having sex with their 17-year-old partner on the same foot as sexual predators. And by and large, family, juries, the public, they believe that's not a crime for teens to have sex with their romantic partners.
Yes.
But oftentimes, prosecutors and the law don't demonstrate that same degree of flexibility and understanding. And of course, statutory rape laws are also selectively enforced. So you mentioned earlier, like, you know, a big part of that 90% is because a lot of people have done it. You know, about half of teens are sexually active, but only a minuscule proportion of that sexual activity results in statutory rape charge. So a statement from a Supreme Court case, I think Justice Brennan basically pointed this out, that, you know, at one time in the same state, there were 50,000 18 pregnancies, and at the same time, 413 men and boys were arrested for statutory rape. So very few of these actually get charged, but when they do, it's oftentimes not random. And certainly men overwhelmingly get prosecuted for this. They're also overwhelmingly the, you know, offenders. But even in cases where both parties are underage and both parties committed a crime, usually only the boys get charged. So I read a law review article where it listed like lots of 15 and 16 year old boys who were charged with having sex with their girlfriend of the same age, even though the girlfriend didn't get charged. And of course, historically, this stems from paternalism, that statutory rape laws were historically designed to protect chaste young women from the older male corrupting influence. And in the past, actually, a defense against statutory rape was that the victim wasn't a virgin, so there was no chastity to steal. So you could do it, but if, you know, like, if it wasn't her first time, you're not a statutory rapist. Yeah. And we can also see this in the way that public and courts have reacted very differently to women teachers having sex with their young students or boys. And this is an older case, but this was the first one that popped into my mind. Mary Kay Letourneau, this was like late 90s. She was 34 and was arrested for having sex with her 12-year-old student. And eventually she got 3 months in jail for this crime.
And then she got out and they were together and had a family.
So maybe she's like Frank or Shane, but still, that, I mean, that she wouldn't apply to those exemptions because that's way older, way outside of the age range.
Yeah, she's passed away now. I think she had cancer or something.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, although they did split up eventually, mm-hmm. but they did work together again.
And that's an older case, but there have been, you know, repeated instances of this happening, and, you know, people even being like, "Oh, cool, lucky guy," you know, getting with the old, you know. So
anytime it's a woman teacher, mm-hmm. That her photo is plastered all over the news.
Mm-hmm. Historically, some statutory rape laws have gone so far as to require the victim to be girls. And also some Romeo and Juliet laws have specifically excluded same-sex couples. But even in states that don't have that explicitly written into the law that these exemptions don't apply to gay teens, statutory rape laws are selectively prosecuted more against LGBT people as kind of part of this enduring attempt to cast gay people as like evil influences out to corrupt youth. So same-sex couples are certainly more likely to be prosecuted for statutory rape compared to opposite-sex couple. So kind of the frequent scenarios that, you know, like parents find out that their, you know, kid is gay and they don't want their kid to be gay and, you know, they panic, and one kind of indirect way to stop it is to, you know, call the police on the other kid that their kid's dating. And I didn't read anything in my prep directly about this and don't have any stats about this, but I could also see how this would be or could be likely in cases with like interracial couples also.
A plague on both their houses.
Exactly. And then ultimately, age of consent laws establish inconsistent standards. So a concrete age of consent is kind of arbitrary to begin with, like in terms of, you know, maturity and development. One 18-year-old might be very different from another 18-year-old, and one 15-year-old might be very different from another 15-year-old. But also because of variation in age of consent laws and Romeo and Juliet exclusions across state, objectively, a 17-year-old having sex with a 16-year-old is a sex offense that could require prison time and registration as a sex offender in one state while being perfectly legal in another state.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those were the same ages of my parents, 16 and 17.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I assume no. you know, Romeo and Juliet parents.
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. My mom had turned 17 by the time she gave birth to myself. Mm-hmm. But she was a teenage pregnancy.
Yeah. One other thing to talk about in reference to Romeo and Juliet exemptions that's particularly timely and relevant is sexting and child sex abuse material.
Yes.
CSAM. We've mentioned that before.
We've said that's the more podcast. Appropriate term these mm-hmm. days, not child pornography.
Yeah. So you're a teen and you're sexting with your significant other and it's discovered by an adult, you could be charged with the production, distribution, and or possession of CSAM.
Which are very serious offenses.
Yeah.
These types of crimes are felonies carrying sentences of up to 20 or more years in prison.
Mm-hmm. And several teens have been charged with possession of CSAM for having nude selfies on their phone. So it's just like a, you know, a picture of themselves. And when I talk about this in class, there's a particularly notorious and local case from 2014. A Manassas police officer was investigating a teen sexting incident, and he applied for a warrant to have this 17-year-old kid taken to the hospital, injected with a drug to cause an erection so they could take a photo of him to compare to the sex that was sent and turned in.
That is just like... completely ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the defense attorney raised serious concerns about this, obviously, and the warrant was withdrawn. But I mean, and it's even more crazy because the attorney, when she's like contesting this, is basically saying like, you're taking this kid into the hospital to inject him and give him an erection to take a picture. This is crazy. Who would do this?
Right.
So the warrant is withdrawn, but then the officer, with the backing of the department, sues this defense attorney for libel, saying like her saying about being crazy was, you know, like slanderous to him. Yeah, it's. But that also kind of highlights one of the issues with this is that, one of the ironies is that police investigations of teen sexting is oftentimes, you know, evidence and photos taken by the police reproduce the very thing that they're arresting teens for.
Yes.
And you're not going to believe this. It gets even wilder. Okay. The same detective that filed for this warrant a year later killed himself when police tried to arrest him for, guess what? Indecent liberties and soliciting sexual images from 13 and 11-year-old boys who he was their hockey coach.
Yeah.
And he was also on an area-wide Internet Crimes Against Children task force.
Now we know why he wanted to inject a drug into this poor kid.
And take pictures of him.
And take pictures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
But, you know, the problem with teen sexting is similar to, you know, statutory rape, that teens sexting each other is way, way different than a creepy old man making CSAM in his basement. And in some countries and states have tried to address this distinction. Obviously, it's tricky because you're dealing with material that could very well be used by adults in very bad ways, like the detective we were talking about a moment ago.
Yeah.
But an Australian law, for example, allows a defense to CSAM if the offender was under 18 at the time, and a reasonable person would consider the same material possessed by an adult to be reasonable and non-criminal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. According to the journal Pediatrics, as of 2019, 27 states, which is a little bit more than half of U.S. states, have passed laws that specifically address sexting by teens, either like decriminalizing it or providing reduced penalties for consensual sexting by underage persons. Most of those 28 states make underage sexting a misdemeanor and still a crime and differentiating it from CSAM charges. But a small handful of other states have decriminalized it across the board or allowed diversion for it or allow underage sexting to be an affirmative defense. But at least as of 2019, 19 states haven't addressed it at all. And teen sexting can be fully prosecuted with, you know, CSAM charges, possession, production, distribution, you know, leading up to 20 years in prison and lifetime sex offender status.
Yeah, this is a very tricky issue because of the need to take into consideration coercive and non-consensual sexting or non-consensual sharing and cyberbullying and revenge porn.
Yeah, absolutely. Complicated for sure. But it seems like things are moving in the right direction. So a lot of the laws that have reduced criminal penalties explicitly say it has to be consensual sexting and it's not sharing and, you know, you're not... sending pictures of your girlfriend around at school without her knowledge. There are other laws that address like revenge porn and things like that. We talked about that a little bit in our cyberbullying episodes.
Yes.
But, you know, again, on the good note, almost all states have, you know, Romeo and Juliet laws or age gap considerations in statutory rape law. So that's a good start. But like we said, we do need more consistency in age of consent and Romeo and Juliet statutes across states. And still in over half of states' laws haven't caught up to kind of this digital age phenomenon of teenage sexting. Anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. Well, then we've come to the end of our episode, and parting is such sweet sorrow. I didn't realize I was prepping this episode. That's from Romeo and Juliet.
Oh.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yep. But it's our minute to spin it. So, okay. Tommy, in just a minute, what's your spin?
Romeo, Romeo, where art thou? Romeo? Romeo is in prison, charged with a sex offense, and now has to register for life on the registry because he was 18. So,
poor Romeo.
Yeah, tech, like law is always behind when it comes to tech, but we can also see from these cases, there's just a lack of nuance in how they're applied. It tends to be arbitrary, and so people need to think more about what teenagers are doing, and, you know, just more nuance would be great. But the law doesn't really provide a lot of nuance, does it?
That's true.
Ben, what's your spin?
Well, it's funny that you said that because I'm using that in part of my spin too. But anyway, see if you can guess this song. It might be easy. Okay. It might be hard. I have no idea.
Okay.
Okay. Picture me a balcony above, a voice sings low. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? I feel a beat. How sweet.
Is that from a song?
Yeah, that's a song.
Oh, okay. I don't know what it is.
Okay. What if I said this part?
Okay.
I'd be tender, I'd be gentle, and awfully sentimental regarding love and art.
No.
I'd be friends with the sparrows and the boys who shoot the arrows if I only had a heart. Wizard of Oz, from the Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
That's the Tin Man song from the Wizard of Oz.
So I didn't realize there were, because I don't know the whole song, so I didn't realize there was a reference to Romeo and Juliet. Very cute.
I've been singing that all week because I've been prepping this episode. Had that on my mind for some reason.
That's very sweet.
Also, another Wizard of Oz fun fact is, remember when it's snowing in the poppy field?
Yes.
That's actually asbestos.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, the snow is actually asbestos.
I wonder how many of those people died of cancer.
Oh, also, you know, Jed from the Beverly Hillbillies was supposed to be the Tin Man, but he had an allergic reaction to the makeup, like almost died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, the Tin Man was originally going to be this Buddy Ebsen, the guy who played Jed from the Beverly Hillbillies. But anyway, there's your Wizard of Oz fun facts. I almost said restorative justice. I've got RJ. RJ in my script, and I wanted to say restorative justice.
Yep.
Anyway, Romeo and Juliet laws, or same near age exemptions to statutory rape laws, are important, as we've talked about, and we definitely need to, you know, keep developing them in regards to teenage sexting, while still recognizing the pitfalls and dangers related to photos of minors. And again, I'll raise the question, star-crossed lovers or sex offenders?
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. Please check out our show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.